What's up, planner lovers? It's your girl Sharice, and I'm back for this week's episode of the Plan on Purpose podcast. What's up, planner lovers? It's season 3 of the Plan on Purpose podcast, and I am so happy to be back. This week's guest is Nita. Well, we know her as Neatly Planned in the planner community, but when I tell you, she is definitely one of my favorite people. She is just amazing. She's here today sharing her story about how she got into planning, how she uses it to manage her life, and we just have an amazing conversation. She is sharing great advice with us about how she uses her faith and her creativity to find her balance. And I think right now we're all looking for a little bit of that. Hey, if you like what you're hearing, go ahead and share it with a friend. Head on over to Plan on Purpose on Instagram and let us know how you felt about today's episode. Let's get into it. So I just want to say thank you. First of all, I want to say thank you for just spending some time with me. I know you're crazy busy and you have all the things happening. So thank you. Introduce yourself for my audience so, you know, we can find out who you are and what you do.
Absolutely. So awesome. Thank you so much for having me on. Really excited. I always love an opportunity to speak with another planner babe about planning, the thing that we love. I'm Nita Patterson, known in the planner community as Neatly Planned. It's kind of where I house all of, it's kind of my little creative corner is kind of like what I like to think of it. So yeah, that's me. I'm excited to talk with you guys today just about planning. I guess that's what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, a few things. So how did you get into planning?
So yeah, so for me, my planning journey, I feel like is like most, the planner community specifically, I had a really close girlfriend. She does a bunch and she was a Happy Planner user from like the OG, the very first Happy Planner. So I think I came in on like the second round of Happy Planners. But she bought the very first one that came out and she was like, Nita, you know, at the time I was a fashion merchandiser. And so all things fashion, but I had a busy, crazy schedule. I was doing my full-time job as a merchandiser, but I also, and I still am the design assistant for Cutso Mamalu from Project Runway. So I was doing my full-time job, the side job. I had all the church stuff. And she was like, I think you need this planner in your life. I was like, well, I have, you know, my little Target planner. I think I had a plum paper at the time. And she was like, nope. This is one you can customize, you know, being a planner pusher. She was like, I think you need to go to Hobby Lobby and just look at them. And from then on, I've been down the rabbit hole of decorative planning because I have always used a planner. I went to private school. And so we always had to have an agenda with, you know, where we had to have our parents kind of sign off on our assignments. And we have a ton of work that you have to keep up with. So I've always used some type of planner, but specifically like Happy Planner is kind of how I join the community. And it became, okay, I have this planner. I have these really cute spreads, but where am I going to put them? Like, they're just too cute to like have it in my planner. And she was like,
oh, exactly.
There's a place. And I was like, what do you mean there's a place? Like, and that's, I found the planner community. And it was literally, I was like, these are my people. This is the tribe for me. Like, they love papers, stickers, all things crafting. Like, where have you been all of my life? Because it literally, I was like, okay. And so it kind of became my little hideaway. Like, I didn't create Neatly Planned for any other purpose but to just have a place to share it with. Because at that time, none of my friends were into decorative planning. They didn't get it. They're like, you're an adult. You have stickers. What? I don't.
Right. Why?
Why? Like, I was like, but I love it. Like,
right.
I didn't have anybody that I was connected to directly at the time. Nicole was, and she does a bunch, she was in North Carolina. So I didn't have anybody here in Arkansas to plan with me. And so I found the planner community. And of course, you know, you go into all of these, they have the groups for every kind of spread and all these things. And so that's kind of how I joined the planner community, because I was looking for people who enjoyed the same thing, but at the time, I didn't know that Arkansas had a planner group, and I found them. And so I started going to meetups and all the things, you know. I think it's like anybody else. It's like you start seeing people in the planner aisle at the store and you're like, hey, you're a planner.
Hey.
Like, that's literally how I learned about the Arkansas planner group. I was at Michael's and one of the ladies was there shopping, and she's like, we have a group. We have meetups on, you know, once a month. And they meet at the library. And so it kind of became that. That was just kind of my little creative outlet. And I just was sharing it on Neatly Planned.
Yeah. I think a lot of us who start Instagrams, especially the ones who have been around for a while, like it started as like this, I just want to share this with people who like to do the same things I like to do. I mean, so it's great that we are able to find it. So you were saying that on one of your posts, you talked about how there was a challenge that the Happy Planner had that helped you to create specifically for that. Like, tell me about that experience.
Yeah. So that was like OG. I feel old saying it, but like OG. Like, that was when they were growing. The product was brand new. I mean, literally, it had just launched. And so they would do things like building engagement, because before, you know, the Happy Planner, it was me and my big ideas, and it was all scrapbooking stickers and all of that stuff. And really, you know, like candy sticks, like the old school scrapbooking stuff. And so this was their way to get content for their Instagram feed for the planners. And so they would do these Happy Planner challenges. And so it would be these different prompts, kind of like how we do challenges now, like different prompts, mm-hmm. to pictures. And that's kind of, I was like, okay, this is fun. This is a creative, you know, I would work my full-time job and then kind of come home in the evening to figure out like, okay, what can I create to go with this theme? And it was really, you know, now we kind of call them lifestyle photos, but at that time it was really just, you know, dressing up your planner. So it might be a pool is the theme, or, you know, picnic or whatever. It was just summer, you know, it would be just different prompts. And it was just fun. It was just a creative challenge for me. Again, I worked in a creative field, so it was just second nature to me. It was just something different. But it was, again, it was another outlet. It was another, I always feel like with creativity, you're constantly trying to find that spark.
The thing.
And keep that creativity flowing, especially like for me, it was my job to be creative and to come up with these displays and to create, you know, stuff for Fashion Week and for collections. And so when you do it like that, you're constantly looking for inspiration. And so decorative planning actually helped to inspire me in other areas of my day-to-day life. And so it kind of just became, one fueled the other. So what work, if I did this amazing like floor display, I would take the colors from that and create a spread. And then from that spread, maybe I would look at the details. Maybe I'm doing dots and take that and want to create maybe like an embellishment for a collection. Like it all started connecting for me in the best way.
Yeah. 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 I love that. I love that you were able to take what you do and kind of infuse it into like the planner work. Cause we all do that, which is how we've all come up with these different types of spreads, where one person is journaling and another person is doodling. And what you used to look at as like, oh, these little doodles are things I used to put on my notebook as a child, are now things that go in your planner. Like, there's a whole sheet full of stickers of just doodles because that's somebody's style. Like, it's amazing. It's really amazing.
I think that's what the planner community unique. Like, there's so many different types of aesthetics. And I always say, you know, I feel like I make cute spreads, but I mean, just literally, I feel like there are just some amazing artists.
Yes.
Art. Not, you know, I feel like I create, but there are literally jazz being one of those. There are some artists, like what she does with paint and the mixture and mix of medias and things like that. Like, to me, I consider that like art on paper.
It is. It very much so is.
I'm blown away. You know, the people that do calligraphy, and there's just, again, but I feel like there's room for everyone. And I think that's what makes it special.
Absolutely. So you were just saying you have your work life, you have family life, you have church life. And of course you're doing all this amazing creating for what Neatly Planned has become. How do you manage all of this?
Time management, and just like everybody else, a planner. But more importantly, I have found, and I think I did, you know, just a video about just talking about, I did a live a couple days ago, just talking about making time for the things that make you happy. And I feel like when we don't do the things that feed us, feed our happiness, how can we be to all these other things? And same way with me, like, I feel like last year, you know, again, everybody's just surviving the pandemic. You know, some people are thriving. I wouldn't say that was my reality. I was surviving, you know, at home. We pulled our daughter out of daycare for 3 months because they didn't have, and my daughter went, at the time she was going, she still goes to the hospital daycare, but they didn't have parameters set up that made me feel confident that my daughter would be safe. And so trying to work from home with a toddler, my husband's working from home. And so trying to balance at that time, I only had my office. And so we basically had to set up a full office for him in our guest bedroom, you know, trying to make it work. At the time he was at the dining room table, but that only goes so long. And then we were both on like Zooms and all of that. So it's just, yeah, I was surviving. But I just found for me, like, especially on, you know, this side of things going into this new year, I shared that on my post. Like, I thought my word was going to be grow. You know, I was like, I'm going to grow neatly plan. I'm going to grow all of my businesses. I'm going to, you know, sell at work. And literally I was like humbled. The Holy Spirit just kind of humbled me. I was just like, no, your word's not going to be grow. Like, you have tons of things. Like, you don't need to acquire more things. What you need is to find joy in the things that you have. And I was like, but that's not cute.
That's not fun.
You know, again, when we think of, and I won't even say it's the hustle mentality. I think for me, I am just I am a goal-driven person. I've been that way my whole life. Literally, my first teacher, if you ask her, I was going to be the first woman president. Like, that's who I am as a person. I am motivated by having things to accomplish.
The things, yeah. The
things. That's very much who I am as a person. That the makeup of who Nita is I'm the trailblazer in my family. I'm, you know, graduate college, do the thing, hit the markers. And not that that makes me better than anybody. That is just for me, what I need to push myself.
To keep going. Yeah.
For some people, you know, they may have a mentor, but at the time in my life, I had to be my own pusher. I had to be my own encourager. Because I think, you know, for so many people, like, I was raised by my grandmother. My grandmother had a seventh grade education, but she pushed education. My grandmother graduated from high school the same a week after I graduated college. That is the makeup. But again, this woman acquired property and financially sound, you know, A1 credit. She was able to do all of these things with just her own motivation. You know, they came, my grandmother got married, you know, my grandfather was in the military, traveled all over the world. But literally, she became a mom. She got married at 17. They were married. My grandfather passed away for 53 years. Mm. That is my DNA. That is my makeup. And so it's just, I don't give myself excuses. I don't allow myself, again, it's not to say that life doesn't get hard or stuff isn't difficult. Do I feel overwhelmed at times? Yes. But you know what? I reset. When I lay down, I did all that I could do for that day. So you know what? Me and my planner, we're going to start over. The next day, we're going to start over. I'm going to write this to-do list over, and I'm going to approach it. It's a fresh lens. You know, we joke and, you know, we can get church and say it's like new mercies every day. But literally,
every day.
Hold on to that. Like, I need that. Yes. I need to, you know, people have all these arts and mouths. They talk to God all cute, but I don't. I'm like, look, you're my father.
That's my friend.
I have to believe and trust that. So I'm going to lay down. I'm going to lay down tonight. And when I wake up, I know that you're going to make it better. Or if it's not better, you're going to ease the way that I feel about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Change me. That's what our circumstances are meant to do.
Yeah. Change it. But even too, like, okay, if you don't change it, let me be okay with it. Help me. Give me the know-how to adjust. You know, I always say we have to control our thoughts. I'm big in self-talk. Like, you know, it's not that things don't, I always say this, and this is like my life mantra. Like, I choose joy, not because everything is joyful, not because everything is right. I have everything that I want, but I'm choosing to find the good. Like, I want to find the good, you know, almost not to a naive sense, but I do believe that there is good. There's good in people. There's good in situation, you know, for all things work together for our good. Well, Lord, help me see the good. I don't see it, but I know because your word is true, there has to be some good. So whatever I'm going through is for a purpose. It's something that you're yep. trying to teach me, something you're trying to mold me, even if it's not for me personally, because I feel like too, some things that I've gone through personally may not have been for me, but for someone to see that, hey, you can make it on the other side. Or if you keep going a little bit longer, things will work out.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And you never know how you showing up, where you supposed to show up can impact how somebody else shows up. Like you might show up and be there and be on time and somebody else was supposed to be standing right next to you at that exact place and boom, destiny or whatever you want to call it. But that's where God had that, you know what I mean? And you, but you didn't show up that day because you didn't choose that because you said, you know what? I tried yesterday, Lord, I don't have it today. And instead of me asking for you to do it and lead me there, I'm just going to sit today because I don't have it.
Yeah.
Opposed to that, when you do that, then God say, well, you missed it. You missed it. I had a friend of mine tell me that she would hate to get there. And you know how they say to turn your way. I'm sorry, you depart from me. You know, you weren't the one. And then God look at her and be like, you know, that one was yours, right? Like you were supposed, that day that you didn't want to show up, that you didn't listen when I had told you to go, I got you. I know you tired. I know it's been long, but I got you. Go ahead and do what you got to do. That was who you were supposed to. But they can't not. I was like, "Ooh, that's deep." Like,
sometimes too, like the things that we go through are connected to others, and I'm a firm believer in that. After our son, my husband and I had a child. Most people in the planner community know, but Christopher passed away. His third birthday will be on the 28th of this month. And so even with that, like my husband was a worship leader. I was in the choir. So we actively, you know, we are the ones to get other people engaged in worship. And I remember thinking like, this is hard. Like, but I also, you know, my grandmother being the person she is, she was like, everyone has that kind of crossroad where it becomes, do you just sing these songs because they sound good? Or are you singing them because you've lived them?
You need that. Yeah. Yeah. And you need it or because you know what it means.
Yeah. And so for us, you know, my son died on a Thursday. We were at worship. My husband was leading worship on Sunday. So it's, again, either you're really going to live this word out. Because again, you know, we say that you're still a good, good father. And I always say this to people, you know, when they're like, well, you know, why didn't God, you know, perform a miracle? It didn't change his ability. It just wasn't in his will.
That wasn't it. Yeah. That wasn't it. Yeah.
And I remember, you know, my husband led worship and I was just in the audience at that time. I didn't sing, but I was still worshiping. And I feel like I just cried my way through it, but I was there.
Yes.
And I showed up. And I remember a woman coming to me after church and she was just like, I'm just amazed. She said, I don't know how you are here and worshiping, let alone. And I said, for me, what would be the alternative?
The alternative. Yeah.
Because, you know, I always say this was the verse that I hung to when after my son passed, it was like, you are the lifter of bow down heads. And so because you are, I have to be in your presence to be lifted.
To be there. Yeah. To get it.
Connected to you. And so, you know, for people, I always say it's not the easy thing to do, but I have to believe who you are to me. It doesn't change your ability. People think, you know, I remember I listened to a sermon after he passed. It was like, how do you serve a God that you're disappointed in? And it basically boils down to his word doesn't change. It is his will. And sometimes even in that, I find that he's merciful. You know, in the work that I do in organ donation, you know, I sit up and see families having to make these tough, you know, gut-wrenching decisions day to day. Up, I have to go to the ICUs and see kids that are long-term patients. And I was like, you know, no, my son's not here, but you are merciful enough that this wasn't our life. We weren't in and out of hospitals because that could have been.
Yeah, sure, it could have been that.
God, that could have been the case easily, you know, we're, you know, in a vegetable state and we're having to make these tough decisions, you know. But I was like, you're merciful enough that you took them and I didn't have to have that burden to decide, you know, do you pull the plug? Do you keep them on life support? All of those things.
That's rough.
Like, you are merciful enough to, even in when it feels tough, that you still show love. You care enough about me. It in that moment, it hurts. But even in that, learning to see the good, that's, again, you find the good in all of it. And just even full circle, you know, now I laugh at that, because with my job now, coming back at the very hospital that my son passed away at, I work at, and totally walking families through end of life. And so I'm not saying this just because it sounds fluffy. I'm saying this because not only have I lived it, I lived it at this very hospital. So, you know, again, we don't understand why we're going through it. But again, if you stick with them, eventually you will see it.
Yeah. And I was listening to a pastor not too long ago that said, you can't lead someone down a path that you've never been on. Like, that might not be, I mean, you could, but that's the blind leading the blind. So you really leading someone, you really helping to guide someone. It's more than likely a path that you've been on. I think that's why, even as just with human connection, we can hear someone talk about a situation that we've been through, and it's hard for us not to say something. Like, sometimes I'll be hearing it within earshot, and I'm like, ooh, like, especially being here, like, I had my son here. So I see on social media and hear a lot of different things about people talking about, like, oh, having kids here, and like, it's so scary, and what if this happens? And I just, excuse me, you know what? Can I talk to you about that? Because I've been there. I know exactly what you're feeling. Your family can't be here. You know, you're worried. You don't speak the language, this and that. Let me just tell you kind of what I've been through. And it's really because I'm not just saying it because, like you said, it's nice to be like, oh, I had my son in Germany. It's really, I'm feeling, or I have felt, what you're feeling right now. And I know what that's like. So I want to help you navigate that, because it can be so scary that it causes you a lot more than you really need, you know, to be thinking about. Because I did it. I did the hospital tours. I walked around. I was terrified, and I had to have an emergency C-section. So now we got these doctors that I don't understand talking to each other about what they're about to do to me. And I'm like, excuse me, hello. So I know, you know, what that feeling is like. I'm laying in here and I'm like, can somebody find my husband? You can't cut me open until you find my husband. Like, I know you understand me. Like, so yeah, it's rough, but you gotta, that human connection thing, when you hear something, when you see something, you're able to really better explain it if you've already been there. And that's why God puts us someplace. Cause he's like, you went through this, and this was not, it was not to break you, but it was really to put you in a position and strengthen you, because someone's going to come behind you and need that strength. So what? I'm going to give it to you.
I think it's the same way with planning. I think we're all, you know, we're here for the decorative. We like it. But ultimately, it's like, we're trying to figure out, like, you make it look easy. How are you managing all of this stuff? And
yes,
it used to be, before I had kids, I would spend, you know, if I had a me day, you know, me and my husband, we believe in having our separate time. And so I would spend that time just crafting and planning and just doing all the stuff. But when I had kids, my planning style had to change. It had to evolve. I was forced to make it evolve, because now I'm not just tracking all of my craziness. I now have a daycare schedule. I'm trying to coordinate, you know, my husband's work schedule. Who's picking up? Who's dropping off? Like, important information. We need to know somebody's going to be there to get our child. Mm-hmm. So it's my planner, literally, like, for me, it is, I'm not saying this jokingly, like, I would be lost without it. And I know, you know, other moms can relate. Like, I feel like my memory has gone to the dumps since having kids. Girl. I felt like in college I was a waitress. I didn't even need to write things down. I could just remember orders. But literally, for me, I'm at a stage in my life, if I don't write it down, I will forget it.
Absolutely. I'm losing my phone or the remote or something 25 times a day in this house, to the point where my Tyler has got so used to me walking around looking for certain stuff. Like, with my phone, he'll just hand it to me. Like, he'll see it on the table. He's like, here, because I know you, I feel it. You're going to look for it, mama. Let me just give it to you. Here you go, mom. Like, and so, yeah, I definitely need it. I need it to just be able to manage all of my things, to manage, like, all of the things that have to go on with him. And like you said, my husband's schedule, crazy. So, like, when are you doing this? When do you need this? When does this need to be done? And then taking over some of that, you know, when they're working, yeah, making sure you kind of do everything for the house and everything. So it's.
And my husband and I both have high stress jobs. And so, it's imperative that I'm organized, because, you know, the nature of my job, I could be all over the state. With him, you know, sometimes he's out he may have to go out of town. So it's always, we have to keep up with one another's schedules to make sure somebody's going to be in the city to pick up our daughter. And then even that, if depending on what kind of meetings or what we have going on, just to have a backup. Because again, we don't have family that live here. And so it's not like, oh, you can call Nana and she'll run and pick up baby. It's not, that's not the case. And so we have to be very detailed. And so just about every Sunday, him and I sit down and we go over our schedules for the week. Like we come up with a battle plan. We have a magnetic schedule, like a Monday through Sunday calendar that goes on our refrigerator where we write it out there. But then also in my planner, like in my month view, I write out kind of what his training schedule looks like, what his travel schedule is, as well as mine. So we can coordinate. And we try to, again, sometimes you can't help it, but we really try not to have crazy weeks on the same week. The nature of our job, it's like people are like, well, how do you do that? Because some things you can move around. Like if I'm scheduling a meeting or if I'm scheduling something, I might need to bump it to a different week unless there's some type of deadline, just so that we're not both stressed out. Because again, life before kids, you could work all day, all night. But with kids, you got bath time, you got play time. I'm a firm believer in, you know, our kids are at daycare most of the day. Like, I want to be present. I want to spend time. I want to play. I want to explore. I want to teach. I want hugs. And when, you know, once my daughter gets home, until she goes to bed, we're present. We don't work. That's the cutoff. Forced me to kind of cut out some of that workaholic behavior. I always say that's kind of, if anybody that follows me, it's like I'm constantly looking for balance. It's like this toddler is forcing me to find balance. And even then, you can't work all night and then be back up to do breakfast.
Because then you're going to be tired and you're going to be snippy because you're tired, or you're just going to be completely out of there because you're tired. And that's not fair to you or them.
So really, my planner, like I really use it to prioritize what are my must have and really prep. So especially with becoming a mom, you know, being a wife was one thing, but becoming a mom, it's like I use really my nighttime kind of planner routine is really prepping for success at night. So that's laying out my daughter's clothes. Literally, I lay out her diaper and the wipes and the socks and the shoes. Whatever needs to go in the car goes in the car at night, unless it's, you know, some food or something that needs to be refrigerated. Everything that I need for the morning is done at night. And literally all I'm doing, sometimes I will even prep the breakfast, have it on the plate, ready. All I got to do is either, like if I'm making pancakes, pop them in the microwave or in the toaster or whatever. Like I prep as much as I can at night because I don't like to be stressed out in the morning, because I feel like the mornings really set the tone for your day. And so I try to have, like, my mornings are kind of like, you know, get my daughter up. Usually I will wake up a little bit sometimes before, but my husband, praise the Lord, he has taken over the morning routine so I can kind of get some more rest. And he's just the morning person by nature. So he does all the morning stuff. I prep everything at night. He gets her up, gets her ready, gets her dressed. They go off to daycare and then I can do my morning thing. So I can get my coffee, do my devotional, look at my planner, see what the day has ahead. But my planning starts at night.
Yeah. I'm the same way. And I've been doing this since I was a little kid. Like my mom used to be like, go ahead, pull your clothes out for the day before, mainly because she just wanted to make sure I wasn't trying to pull one over, which where I want to see what's up, but really pull your clothes out the day before. And I do that now for like Elijah. We don't go a lot of places these days, especially when we being kind of a stay at home mom. But whenever we do have something to do, especially if it's before 10 o'clock, everything is ready at night, like the night before. Like I have to go, we have an appointment, or I was doing Mormon morning Bible study for a while. We was getting up, going to Bible study in the mornings. And so I would have to have all that stuff laid out. What was he wearing? What we're going to do? What's the day looking like? I put all in the car, like all that same stuff, just because mornings, especially when you got a little one like that young, they can be stressful. Just all I did was wake up. Now we up, the baby crying. You don't know what's like, you know what I mean? So the least amount of stress that you can put on yourself is better. And so I would do the same thing. I would plan everything at night. And it's funny because like just the little things that you don't realize that you do that help you, that are part of that organizational mind. Like one of the things that I do with my son is I've taught him with, you know, winter time and gloves and hats and all that. They lose all that stuff. One of my friends asked me, how have you managed to keep up with his hat this whole winter? Because I make him put it in his sleeve. He's two. And when he takes his coat off, I say, where's your hat? And he takes it off his head and sticks it in his sleeve because that's something that I've been doing since I was a little kid. My husband used to make fun of me because like a while ago, I don't do it as much anymore, but a while ago I used to put, like, I would get up in the morning and if I was throwing my pajamas maybe back on for another day or switching out my pajamas, I would put them under my pillow. And he would be like, why are you doing? Because I've been doing this since I was a little kid. But at night, when you get out the shower and you like, where's my shorts? I'm like, I'm going to go ahead and, yeah, because there's mine right there. So it definitely makes a huge difference in those little pieces of organization when you are running around to help you out, for sure.
With the kids, it teaches them this is what the morning should be like. You know, you don't want chaos. You don't want, and you want it to be peaceful, whether they're going off to actual school, daycare, whatever. Like, you want the morning to be peaceful for them.
So whatever you can do,
you know, whether it be whatever, like, but you just don't be frantic. And, you know, I always say too, like, that kind of can create anxiety for them too. And so it's just, you kind of want to set the tone for what you want that morning. Yeah.
Especially when you learn who you are and what you like. Like, I've learned that I have to have at least one cup of coffee before he wakes up, because I'm never going to be able to finish it when he wakes up. Like, everything is, it just goes. And so if I'm doing my Bible study for that, you know, day, sometimes I do it in the morning as soon as I wake up. I've, like, we just had a Bible study not too long ago. We were talking amongst ourselves about how are you preparing yourself for the next day, or how are you doing certain things to keep you really in your word. And I put my books for the Bible study, my pens, because, you know, we're all planner girls. So we have like a stack. I got a whole cup. I have showed it before, full of pens. Sometimes I put the whole cup of pens and highlighters right on my nightstand. Sometimes I bring my little planner bag and put it in there. But I got my pens, I got my highlighters, I got whatever, you know, books I'm reading at the time or Bible study I'm doing, my Bible, my journal, all of that stays at my bed. My husband's always like, why do you have so much stuff? I'm like, because you don't understand. If I got to get up and look for this, this is not getting done. Like, I'm on a time clock. As soon as I wake up, it's ticking until he wakes up. So I have to do that. So I've learned that about myself. Some people don't need that in the morning, but I know I need it. I need my cup of coffee, and not so much because it's the coffee. It could be tea, it could be water. It's that it's part of my time. So with all of these amazing things going on, what's your self-care like? Because it sounds to me like you get a lot of joy from church and maybe activities or Bible. So what's your self-care like?
So to be honest, I'm doing better. To be honest, I wasn't doing so great at it. I would say last year, I completely burned myself out. Physically, mentally, emotionally, like, I was spent. I had given all that I had. Like, I love my job. But even in loving it, you have to have boundaries.
Yes.
And, you know, I feel like I'm doing life-saving work. Literally, I'm helping, you know, people to get life-saving organs. But it was around the clock. Like, I'm working, you know, there was one case I worked 32 hours straight. And so I was with that family from the time that they authorized for donation. I stayed all the way to the OR was complete. So sometimes I would actually go in the OR, and this was one of those cases. I stayed all the way to the recovery was completed. And it was a long, 32 hours complete. Like, that's a long day. And then, you know, with the toddler, you don't get to come home and say, I'm going to sleep for the rest of the day. No. It is, now I need to be mom.
Yeah.
And I still have a home to clean up and to, you know, get ready and lunch. Yes, I have an amazing partner. I have a great husband. But even in that, him and I share a lot of roles and responsibilities. And so it's just certain things that I do. Of course, he's like, you know, need to go lay down, but I'm super.
I got to do him.
That's cool.
Yeah.
He's not going to go lay down. And let's just be honest. Like, that's the truth. It's not because he didn't offer, but it's like, no, these are the things that I do and I will do.
I got to do my things. Yeah.
Part of that is he won't do them the way that I do.
I'm going to do them.
Let's just be truthful. You know, not that he doesn't do them well. He just does what he likes, things a certain way. We want it folded. However, so for me, it was like, I just wasn't doing a good job at that. I will say I made it a priority. I really had to do some evaluating at the end of last year, because I knew for myself, my family's well-being, I could not do that, sustain that for another year. It just, for me, I always say, what does your peace cost? What is the price tag that you put on peace? And for me, there's no amount of money, you know, chasing, you know, professional development and ambition and all of those things. But like I told you, you and I were talking about that. I was just like, there are certain things for me. It's like no amount of money for me. And I know, again, people have different needs. I know that I am blessed. I'm becoming more aware, too, of that, too, that, you know, I do have more luxury than maybe some people have. But I know for me, the price tag on peace is not worth it. And so just really evaluating that, like, how can I do my job well, but also protect my family, making time. And I think that's a big key because, you know, my mom always say everyone gets the same 24 hours in the day. It's what you do with them. Mm-hmm. I thought I was doing well with the hours that I was given. But even in that, I was doing all of these things great. But when it came time for Nita, I really wasn't doing much, you know, and I had a friend, you know, you need some girlfriends that will tell you the honest to God truth in love.
Yes.
And she was like, well, you know, I was like, yeah, I do self-care. And she's like, okay, tell me, what do you do? And I was like, well, you know, I showered and I went to the grocery store. And she was like, no.
None of those things.
I was like, self-care. I was like, I'm going to the grocery store. It's quiet. Nobody's asking me for anything. But even in that, I'm doing that for my family. Mm-hmm. That's not for Nita. You know, yes, I have to eat, but peace and quiet at the grocery store is not really self-care.
It's not. And it's astonishing how many of us think I'm taking care of myself because I have to do this, but this is not, you know, this is not feeding anything else except for the fact that, like, I mean, I got to make sure I take care of my body.
That's another task. Same way with showering or after the bath. That's not self-care. That's personal hygiene.
Right. Right. Now, if you take a long bath and read you a book and have you a couple candles, that's different.
If you're taking a bath because your back is sore because you've been up running, and that's not self-care.
Right. Right.
See what I'm saying? If you're taking a bath because your body and your muscles are just spent, that's not self-care. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was just like, okay, what do you enjoy? Because I got to a place mentally, I was so drained with work. I didn't want to plan. And so I always tell people always like, well, you know, you took a break. Like, I always look at myself, even with Neatly Planned, I'm like, I look at the potential, the untapped potential, because I'm like, I feel like I haven't scratched the surface of the things that I want to do or want to share. But I didn't have time. And even when I had time, I was just mentally drained. That's the last thing I wanted to do. You know, I got to the point, like, I just want to lay on the couch and I want me something good to eat. And I just, that's what I want to do. Like, I don't necessarily want to create. I just want to be. Mm-hmm. And what I found in that for self-care was like, okay, you have to make time for the things you enjoy. And one of those things for me is fitness. When I'm working out, I am just in a better overall state, like physically, mentally, like I just feel better. I'm small, but like, I feel like my joints and stuff hurt when I'm not working out. I feel stiff. I feel like, I got to take a pause to get up in the morning. It's like, whew, like, okay, right. Let me put my feet down on the floor. You know, like my mommy say, hit the floor. And I was like, I'm not hitting it the same. Like, it's more
like a slow tap.
It's like a slow roll. And so it was just like, okay, number one, you have to get active again. Like, you know, you don't have to do like a crazy workout regimen, but just something, some activity, especially with working from home.
Yeah.
Get up, go get some fresh air, go for a walk, like do something. And so that became a thing, like prioritizing fitness, because, you know, I have a lot of things that run in my family. Both of my aunts on both my dad and my mom's side have both had breast cancer. We have heart disease, diabetes, like all of these things. And I'm like, I want to live. And so that is very like at the top. So, you know, being active, that is when I do that, I just feel like I just rest well. And that's part of just like my nighttime routine during the pandemic. I got me a Peloton. I jumped on the Peloton wave and I love it. And it's
not
even.
Do you love it?
I love it. Like, you know, people feel like it's a little cult-like, but here's the truth. For me, I like going to the gym and I like the variety that the gym offers. Well, you know, I wasn't necessarily, again, let's be truthful. Before I got my Peloton, I hated spin.
Really?
Hated it. Like, you know, because they have all these little spin cycles and hated it. And I was like, it's not for me. Like, I am a, give me all the cardio. I'll get on the elliptical. I'll do the treadmill. I'll do the stair stepper. cycling just, we just didn't agree. Like I would always so sore hated it, but I love strength training. And so I like that, you know, I had a friend, you know, like, just, you know, just go look at the app and, you know, they selling it. Everybody, they all Peloton pushers too. Anybody with a Peloton, yes. is a Peloton. Yes. And she was like, it's just this and that, you know. And so when I started looking at it and seeing all the things that they offer, like the mindful meditations, yoga, strength, cardio, outdoor, and like it's so many things beyond the bike. And the instructors are bomb. Like you really feel like they're talking to you. And so that kind of really helped me to stay accountable. And I put my Peloton next to my bed. So it's my nightstand and my Peloton. And I'm one of those people, you know, other people are different. But when I spend my money and a substantial amount of money, I'm going to use it. And with it being next to my bed, before you get in this bed, you're going to do some type of workout. I don't care if it's a 10-minute stretch, a 20-minute ride, a strength training, you're going to do something.
Yeah.
That's how I hold myself accountable. Because for me, and I'm, you know, that mom guilt is real when I feel like I'm spending a substantial amount of money. Again, that I feel like, you know, my daughter has all the things. It's not that she's lacking in anything, but I still feel like, okay, that's money that could be going towards something, you know, her car or whatever.
Saving it, whatever. Yeah.
But I always so too, like, if it was something for my husband or something for my daughter, I wouldn't blink to do it. But when it's me, it's like, I'm like, you know, and literally my husband was like, order the bike.
Why do they do that to us?
I know, but I do him the same way. He's the exact same way. If it's something for him, he won't. But same. If it's something for me and my daughter,
go ahead, get it. Get whatever you
I mean, what are you waiting on?
Yes.
And I just think that's just who we are. And, you know, we're both savers, but I think it was one of those things. It's an investment in my overall well-being.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, again, my toddler, she's steady growing. I'm stuck in this preteen body. That's just who I am. I'm like, well, when the flowers, where are they coming? You know, I got a little something, but I was like, okay, this is it. I, you know, at 35, I rested and just I've learned that this is it. I'm content. This is what I have. I'm gonna take it. But you know, even in that, it's just like, okay, this is for me. This is something, this is an investment in Neatly. Same way with Neatly Plan. Like I wasn't doing anything. And, you know, it's like, you feel like when you're not being active, it's like, well, yeah. And again, I never set out with Neatly Plan to make it a business. Never, ever, ever, ever. That was never the thought. I never was like, I got to get these followers. Like that was never it. I just wanted a place. These were my people, a place to share my love. And when I started focusing so much on the business side of Neatly Plan, I lost the love of it.
Yeah.
And for me, again, I have tons of work, you know, ministry work, actual work, side hustle. And so for me, it was like, I didn't need another job. But I also, even in that, you know, it's the very thing that keeps you from doing it. It was like, well, again, I felt like the community had changed from when I initially joined. And so I was like, is this, you know, this isn't what I fell in love with. It's changing. And for me, I'm always constantly assessing, reassessing. Is this something I still love? Do I still feel like this is bringing me the joy that it once did? And if not, why?
Yeah. And do I need to walk away from it because it's not bringing me that joy?
Or do I need to, again, do I need to have a mindset shift about it? Do I just need to drop my stuff and, you know, because I did that for a while. I was like, okay, I'm just going to post and then I'm going to be gone. But it wasn't the posting that originally I was bought into. I was bought into the community. I loved engaging with people and, you know, talking with them about their posts and just connecting with people. Like it wasn't anything more but connecting with people that I felt like had common interests.
Yeah, same.
That peace and that love, because it was becoming something I didn't want to be a part of.
Yeah. And kind of speaking a little bit about that, I saw your video, you know, which is how I got really introduced to you, because no offense, I love Happy Planner people, but it seems like everybody uses a Happy Planner. So I was I would scroll and it would just be like Happy Planner stuff. And I'm like, I gotta find some different people. Because I like Happy Planner stuff too, but I don't use it all the time. So I need to find other people. And I ended up finding somebody else who said, oh, you know, this, she has a great channel. I was like, oh, let me see. Let me check her stuff out. And I'm like, oh, I like all your spreads. Let me see what she's up to. And so around the time when all the controversy was happening, I saw your video and commented, said something to you about it. But not even on that, but just the idea of diversity in this community and the idea that there are opportunities only created and available for a certain type of Black woman, right? Like, oh, this is only a certain type of Black woman is able to do that. You are still very outspoken about the things that mean something to you regardless. So how do you navigate being able to say what you want to say and how you want to say it whenever, you know, you have the ability to say, no matter what it's about, whether it's about anything that may be happening in the world, happening within your life, and saying that in the way that still keeps you, you.
I mean, I think just, you know, and I did a post about this, just like, I can only be me. But even in that, I've learned that my experience is not everyone's experience, you know, and that's just in the growth and evolving as a person, you know. I just think that it has to be genuinely just who you are. If you're not a person that would just speak out, then that's not who you are. Don't just, you know, speak out to just speak out about something. But that's just right. Very much who I am as a person. You know, the things yeah. that I'm passionate and I feel strongly about. I just think that that's just who I am. And the people that are close to me, you know, I always tell people, don't play with my money, my man, or my family.
Come on. Those things.
Again, that's just who I am. The people that I hold dear to me. You know, I think there was a meme about saying, like, when you're married to your husband that's more laid back, but you're like, rah, rah, rah. Like, that's who I am. And if you come yep. with people I'm close to and I love or that I have a relationship with. That's just who I am. And I think, you know, even with this, like, you know, think of it like the Meghan Markle stuff, you know, I just think like, who's going to speak the truth? Not everyone has a front seat or knows everything that happens behind the scenes. And I just think for me, you know, specifically with that, it was just like, you know, I had a personal relationship and I still do have a personal relationship with Steph as a person. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think everyone can have their opinions. We're all allowed to have that. But just for me, I feel like too, in situations like that, you want someone to speak to your truth and to your character. And yeah, I just, absolutely. For me, I'm a believer in that. You know, I feel like for me, I would want someone to speak up and tell my truth. And mm-hmm. I feel like too, I don't want to be connected or friends or be a part of anybody if I feel like, you know, you're not going to speak up for me. Mm-hmm. And you know, no one ever asked me to or anything, but it wasn't even about necessarily just Happy Planet. It was just my experiences. And I just, again, I want everyone to have, you know, I want everyone to be able to find their tribe, find their people, their space. And I just think, you know, things have just changed. They've changed where it's like, even just not diversity in the planner community, but just the community in itself, you know.
Yeah, definitely has.
Planning a business.
Yes.
And when I started out, you know, I think there were small sticker shops, but it's like now planning is full-blown businesses.
Yeah, just planning. Not I have a sticker shop. Not I make a product. I just plan and that's my business. That's crazy to me. You know,
planner podcast, having, you know, planner lines, you know, I think, mm-hmm. you know, we're thinking about just sticker shops, small sticker shops that are now like in big box stores.
Huge.
Like,
yeah.
Those weren't there years ago when I first got into the community.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, again, just as a person for me, I feel like I've grown just as a person. And I think you get to a point, you know, I've become a mother, you know, since I've joined the community. And so things that once that I just, you know, they weren't a big deal to me. A lot of things now still aren't big deal to me because for one, Neatly Planned was never a business for me. It was just my little corner. Like I said, my corner where I shared my creativity.
Yeah. 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 I think the same. When I started, like, Plan on Purpose started as just Instagram for me to share planning with people who like to plan. That was pretty much it. Here's my spreads. Here's the things I do. And I share a lot of different things now because I really just don't have time to do my personal Instagram and still be on this. So just, you know, certain things that are important to me that I'm connected to that, that I believe have been put on my heart to say, I say them. And so, you know, same thing with the podcast. Like, I just wanted to talk to Planner Girls. That's all I wanted to do. Because again, my personal tribe is not into this. Now, I'm doing a great job of getting them all into it. But like, it didn't start out that way. So just having those conversations. And so watching how things have changed. If someone is getting into the planner community now and just kind of starting out and really you're just wanting to connect, but seeing how things are, what would be your advice to them to get into this community and really be able to use it as a place to build community and not necessarily as anything that might cause them any grief or stress?
Yeah, I would just say, honestly, like, just stay true to you. Like, and what I mean by that is I feel like you find your planning style. So again, you can take inspiration. You can follow some people. If you like their spread, start off with that. Start like, you know, playing around with their layouts and how they do things, but really just, again, I always tell people I always find it hard when people say, you know, well, how do you place stickers? For me, with decorative planning, I place stickers on the non areas that I need for writing. And so for me, it's really focusing my decorative planning usually focuses around like the edges or, you know, or using washi to identify like a week long meeting or something like that. So it's like, it's really hard. I was like, your planning style really has to be based off your planner needs. So yeah. If you're getting in for a community, don't focus so much on having the perfect layout. And I always tell people, you have to start somewhere. If you go back and look at anyone's feed, my feed, Kel of a Plant, anybody, like, yeah, go back to early, early spreads. Like, we all were figuring it out. Even with writing, you know, people, I was like, people get into the planner community, they're like buying like full on, you know, DSR cameras and all the things. Like, I started with my phone, like, in just sunlight in a phone board. Like,
come on.
Figure out if it's something you enjoy and just post. You got to start somewhere. Just post. And, you know, I've always been one of those people, like, when I first got into the community, I didn't necessarily ask people. It was just trial and error for me. But I feel like now, like, with planning being the way that it is, there's a YouTube video for everything. How to take pictures, how to do lighting, how to edit, how to set it up, how to, you know, what accounts to follow. Like, it's a tutorial on how to do all of those things. When we first got into it, you know, I think Belinda was, like, the biggest planner person that I knew of that was, like, planning as a business. So it's just, like, for me, I just feel like you just have to start. Start, figure out and find what your style is. And then once you find kind of what your style is, find people with similar styles or find people with similar interests. You know, you and I both were army wives, or, you know, follow women who have kids, because again, what you will find on their feeds, they're going to show you planning related to the things that they're planning. So if you're a fur mom, or if you got kids in sports, you know, mom run craft, her boys have these crazy like practice schedules, and she would use color coordinating. I was like, I would pin that stuff, because I'm like, when I have kids someday,
one of these days,
I'm going to need to know how to do that. And this looks like a great system. Same way, you know, follow people, even if you're not in that season of life or, you know, work wise, or follow people with similar jobs. I did that too. Like, no, there weren't people that necessarily did my exact job, but when I was merchandising, like, maybe there was someone who had like maybe a retail schedule, and how did they plan that? That's what I did. I found people that had similar interests and I followed them because it gave me ideas on kind of how I could work my schedule. Also, even too, just like, remember your whys. I feel like everybody says that. What's your why? What's your why? But are you using your planner? Because some people use it just decoratively. Like, if your planner is only like a creative outlet, I remember people like, they only use stickers and they don't write in it. And that's okay.
And that's what they want to do.
Yeah, that's what they want to do with it. But I think, again, like, whatever your reasonings for using your planner, just remember, if you're just doing it to be creative and have a fun place, share it. For certain things, for me, I learned I don't want to share everything. So I, for years, and I still don't share necessarily my faith planner. I give little tips about my faith planning, but it's really personal to me. And so sometimes you have to decide, is, will I share everything? You know, Or there's some things, do I want to keep private? I just think you have to decide. Or if there's going to be just one planner that you show, you're like, okay, my feed's only going to be my fitness planner, and I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to share only fitness. Like, just decide. You know, I think some people think you got to be in this niche of what you got to share and not share. And I think even for me, it was like, I would share planning stuff, but I'm so much more than planning. Like, I love fashion. I love beauty. I love all these things. And I stopped sharing them. You know, I would share them a little bit more in my story, but I'm like, I'm at this point in my life, I think you hit 30 plus and you're just like, you're going to get whatever I give you.
Whatever I feel like it just, there's so much with them. Like, oh, you got to beat the algorithm and you got to be posting this many times a day. And if you don't post and, you know, this many times a day doing this thing, or if I come to your feed and you got this many things on one, you know, one side and that on that other side and this, and you can't be, listen, I Bible journal, I creative journal and memory plan. I free write. I have a podcast. I'm a planner girl. I love to read. You're going to see one. I'm a Black woman. You're going to see one of, or five in the same day. I'm a mom. I'm a wife. I live, you know, out of the country. I have family that's back at home. We have fun conversations and things we do. I'm from Detroit. Like, all of these different things are me, and you're going to see me. And so 1 week you might see, I might do 3 journaling pages for Bible journaling, and I'm sharing those because that's what I wanted to share. Like, I remember not wanting to share a lot of this other stuff because it was like, well, you know, I want to share that. Like, I don't know. Like, is that I'm just doing it. And I showed it to Jazz, and she was the one that made me do it. She was like, that's beautiful. You should definitely share it. It's amazing. And then I did. And I got people like, oh, can you do more of this? And I'm like, well, when I do it, sure. But I'm not going to be like, oh, this week I didn't share Bible journaling spread, or I didn't share journaling spread. Like, you know, my feed's going to be, it's like, no, I'm busy. I'm doing all of these other things. That's where it is.
It's room for everyone. And sometimes it's like, you don't know you need that till you see somebody else do it. It's like, oh, okay. So I could just have a place. You know, I love when Jazz just does her like just layering of stickers. It's like, we're all trying to figure out ways to how to use all these stickers. And I was like, that's so creative. That's a fun way to use stickers maybe you wouldn't use in a spread, but you can find a fun, creative way to repurpose and reuse some of those things in another area, in a non-planner way.
Yeah.
And you said like, you know, your feed was just full of happy planner. You know, again, like I felt like when I joined the planner community, it wasn't the majority. Like,
It wasn't a while ago.
You know, plum paper, the, what was that? Like sugar plum, whatever that Target brand was. It was Erin Condren, the bullet journal.
It was
journal.
Kiki like, K.
Yeah. It was, what are the
Philofax.
Yeah. Like the A5s. Like, it was so many styles. But I think too, and I don't think that those styles aren't being shown. I just think, again, more people have, well, not even more people. I think new people are joining the Happy Planner community, and it's making it more. Now, remember, too, Happy Planner has evolved in the last 6 years, and the community has grown substantially.
Yeah.
I just think that is part of, you know, what you see. And even that, with the algorithm with Instagram, it just shows you getting those, because I used to get, and I follow girls who bullet journal because I just think it's amazing. I'm like,
isn't it cool?
I don't have the time, but I think it's beautiful, you know, that literally every week you're creating from scratch. And I used to get a lot more of that in my feed, but I don't get it as much. And so now for me, I like that you can actually search, you can follow the hashtags, because that's what I do now.
Me too. Like, me too.
Because that's the only way that I get to see it.
I love that too, because I follow like productivity planning, and I follow like functional planners, or I follow like people who journal in different sizes. Because all last year, I spent most of last year journaling in an A6 in a pocket, and I never looked at the pocket size as being a planner for me, because I just always have all the things. I can't fit all the things in an A6. Like, I just can't. Like, you know, I got a young child. I got just my own stuff. I can't, even if I just put those two things in a planner, that's not A6 worthy. We pushing it out to A5 right now. But I got it because I was thinking, oh, I could use this to take out the house with me and do something else when I need to do a grocery list. When I do this, I can't take my A5. And at the time, he was real little. So I was like, I don't want to be lugging all this stuff. I want this little bitty planner, chuck it in my bag. Well, it didn't work out that way for me. But then when I followed the hashtag, like A6 Hobonichi, I was like, whoa, people are watercoloring in here. People are, so I then, it was a creative journal for me. I did my 30 days of gratitude. I did my December daily in there. I really started to have fun with this, and it worked well for me because it was such a small size that it wasn't intimidating. I used to scrapbook, but a 12 by 12 page makes me nervous right now because my brain goes, I only have a certain amount of time to finish this. I got to make it look this way. What if my child comes in here, grabs a marker, and he messes it? But in that little bitty thing, even like now in a B6, I'm using a B6 now to creative journal. It's really like fun. I have a good time, but it's just a certain amount of space that I get to do what I need to do. And then I'm happy that I did it and it's done. And it didn't take me too long. Cause like you said, you grow and you evolve and you shift. When I first started planning, I had time to sit down and do beautiful spreads. And when I first really started scrapbooking for real, I had time to pick out and do all of these things. Now I'm like, okay, he just went to bed. I got 30 minutes before I'm really ready to pass out. Like, let me get, you know, something in. And even with Bible journaling, I change up how I do things. You might see something that has a bunch of, you know, stickers or maybe paper or that kind of thing. That might have been a day that I really, really wanted to choose this way to spend my time with God, but I only had a few minutes and I couldn't wait for paint to dry. But then another day you see the paint and you're like, oh, I have more time. That was a Sunday when I got back from church and I said, go ahead, y'all do dinner. I'm gonna go upstairs. We're gonna have lunch together and dinner, and then I'm gonna go upstairs. So it's great to be able to evolve and to do something like follow a hashtag where you can see what you want to see, but still be able to support your friends and people in the community and love what they do, but it's not necessarily what you do.
Yeah. And I think too, respecting what each person does well. I think it's, you know, again, I'm like everybody else. I bought every calligraphy book. I have the hand letter, love letters, happy planner. I have the 101 calligraphy, you know, all the books. But I, you know what? I was like, Nita, that's just not your thing. That's not your thing. Do what you do well. And I think that's, again, you know, I remind myself, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Everything that you need for you to be successful and for you, again, it says your gift will make rooms. What I'm meant to do and share, I will do that. And I feel like what I do well is connecting with people.
Absolutely.
I don't claim to be the best at anything. I feel like, you know, my pastor always says, whatever platform you have, use it. And I feel like that little corner is where I can share my little organization. I feel like mostly my lives or just whatever turns into me sharing my faith. And I feel like if that is the platform that God has given me to share, that's all I really set out with, is to be able to be creative and connect with people along the way. And that's just, you know, that's my hope. I feel like, you know, you asked me what, you know, you would tell someone joining into the community. It's just like, find your people. No, you may not gain all the followers or be planner famous, whatever that means. But if you find a group of people that you connect with and you share, I feel like so many people have made real life friendships from this community. I've made some real life friendships that I'm so grateful for, and I wouldn't have done them, wouldn't have met those people otherwise. And so just take that opportunity to get to know people, connect on those common grounds. And just again, anything else, just let it go by the wayside.
Thanks so much for joining us for this week's episode. I again want to thank Nita for stopping by this week. It was such a pleasure to have this conversation with her. And if you cannot tell, man, we had a great time. Make sure you check the show notes so you can find out exactly where to hear more about Nita and all of the great things that she's doing. Don't forget to stop by and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcast, or come on over to Instagram and let me know what you thought. Until next time, I'm here to talk if you're here to listen.